Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servants, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
To be strong, to be courageous, to be firm, fear not, and do not tremble before them. Because the Lord our God will be the one to deliver them into your hands. The life of a worshiper is the one who receives the word of God and responds with joy. You receive the word from the mouth of the Lord, and your response from your heart shows that you have received it. And so this morning we receive the word of the Lord. We rejoice in, with joy in our hearts. We receive the word of assurance. We receive the word of victory. We receive the word that sets us apart. We receive the word that makes us unique. We receive the word of divine exemption and divine appointment in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If I could have my way, I would just say, Pastor, please just go on. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in church this morning? First service was great. Hallelujah. It was a good time. If you were not here for first service, please, you need to go back and listen to that message over and over and over again. Hallelujah. Please be comfortably seated. Let's say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we ask that you speak to our hearts individually. In the name of Jesus, you will open our eyes and you will teach us your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. I have to do this very quickly. Hallelujah. I'm going to be talking on sustaining the life of worship. Over the course of the past few weeks, we've been dealing about worship, praising God, you know, and all of that. And, you know, recently I was watching a series on Netflix, and I saw a medical procedure where the heart of a patient was being operated upon. And for the period where they were operating upon that heart, what the doctors did was to conduct a bypass operation. Now, the bypass was a temporary fix just to allow them to disconnect the heart, you know, and have time to work on the heart. So while they were working on the heart, the bypass was supplying the body, was acting as a heart for the body. And, you know, I looked at it, and it just occurred to me that sometimes when you attend special programs, when you have special meetings, they act like bypass. You can't live and sustain yourself on those programs. There has to be a point where the bypass is taken out and your heart is reconnected. And so you have to learn, aside from being in the corporate space where we all worship together and we live a life of worship, you have to be able to, on your own, develop that stamina. You have to be able to develop that strength to live that life. Pastor Buki was preaching some weeks ago, and she talked about autopilot, you know, where your soul by default worships the Lord. She was describing a scenario where you drive and you want to go to the office, but you want to stop at ShopRite and you forget. You know, at a point I Googled that, and there's actually a term for that particular scenario. It's a condition of the brain. If you travel a particular route a lot, there's actually something that happens when you drive. For some seconds while you're driving, your brain shuts down. You are not conscious of what you're doing. At that time, it is that auto brain that picks up because it's already familiar with that route. Now, if your plan was to stop at ShopRite, and God help you, your brain shuts down 2 seconds before you get to the gate of ShopRite, you will not stop. Because the auto part of that brain that has taken over the process continues until you get to a point where you are jolted back to life. The first time it happened to me, I was scared. I thought I was having some brain seizures. So I had to quickly call a doctor. I Googled, and then I saw that, okay, it's normal. I was like, okay, thank God, I'm okay. So if you're used to driving, you just notice that sometimes you won't even know a building is on that road until you now have an event at that building. Then you tell yourself, I pass this road like every day. How come I've never seen? Because your brain is just figured around your routine. And that's why we must learn, we must be able to sustain this life of worship. We must come to the point where we don't necessarily have to put in our own fleshly energy, but you wake up and it is by default that you walk according to the will of the Lord. Hallelujah. So worship is our lifestyle. Worship is our culture. Worship is who we are. Now, I know that there's been this misconception about worshiping, singing, praising, dancing, crying, wailing. Some of these things are expressed in the process of worship, but they are not the core of worship. Worship is your response, the response of your heart to God. The Lord has a description of who and how to worship Him. It says that they that worship Him worship in spirit and in truth. When you worship in spirit, you are worshiping from the realm of revelation. You are worshiping from seeing God and responding to what you are seeing. And when you worship in truth, you are worshiping in reality. You are worshiping, it's not plastic. It's not like you are trying to act. It's not like you are trying to be a Christian. It is who you are. That is the truth. So the revelation of God that you see gives authenticity to your worship. Because then it becomes a natural flow from your heart. Revelation chapter 4. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's quickly go through Revelation chapter 4. From verse 2. And this was the encounter of John. And immediately I was in the spirit. Now if you are not in the spirit, it will be difficult for you to see. I was in the spirit. Being in the spirit gave me entrance to beholding. It opened my eyes. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Next verse. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper. Now, you should be conscious of the stones that are being mentioned here. And I did a bit of check. A jasper is a clear stone, and it depicts God's absolute purity and perfection. A jasper is so clear. It just shows you that there is no filthiness in God. It shows you that level of righteousness that God lives in. You cannot see God in his righteous state and not respond in worship. John said, when I saw him, I fell down as one that was dead. So when he described that, it looked like jasper. That was the closest thing he could use to describe the purity he could see in God. He said, and a sardine stone. This is not sardine fish. This is sardine stone, also known as sardius. Now, this particular stone is red blood colored, and it depicts the righteous wrath of God. It shows the color of God's divine anger. It tells you how God can be so pure, and at the same time cannot stand anything that is close to iniquity. It shows you how that God can defend his people through his holy anger. You see the sovereignty of God when you look into him. And he said, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Emerald is another, you know, these days people give birth to kids and you hear emerald. I mean, lovely name. Emerald is another transparent stone that shows purity. So John couldn't even find enough words to describe. And that is why most of the time, when you are actually in the place of true worship, you lose your voice. Because you can't even find enough words to speak. And then it comes to a point where you are worshiping and all you can do is just to cry. And that is why the worship did not start with the cry. The worship started with the revelation of who you are seeing. And then it translates into the groaning in your spirit, where you see God in the place of worship, and all you can do is just to chant, kata, kata, kata. Have you noticed that sometimes when you're even worshiping, your tongues change? You notice that you seem to be in another level. Hallelujah. That was the kind of experience that John was trying to describe. Emerald also represents the quality of God that describes God's kindness and his goodness. When you come in contact with that, when you come into revelation of how God is good to you despite our shortfalls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please, can we run to verse 7 of that same Revelation chapter 4? Verse 7. And you know, he said that around the throne, he saw 24 seats, and the 24 seats were occupied by elders. And he also saw some beasts, the first beast, and the first beast was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third had the face of a man, the fourth like a flying eagle. Please go on. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within. Now, if you read from verse 6 or verse 5, it says that they had eyes all over them. So they had eyes behind, they had eyes in front, they had eyes even within them. And they had eyes even within. If you go back, you'll see that they had eyes even all around. And they rested not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Now, this beast stood in front of God, and with all the eyes that surrounded them, they could see into the purity, into the righteousness, into the goodness, the faithfulness of God, and they rested not day and night. Your worship should be a day and night thing. It's not something you take a break from. That at every second of your life is worshiping and singing holy, holy to the Lord God Almighty. They had eyes all over them, filled with eyes. Let me say this morning that your eyes is a connecting point to the revelation of Christ. And when I say your eyes here, I do not mean that, I'm not talking about these two balls, you know, right here on our foreheads. If you were describing these two balls, I'm not sure we ladies will qualify anymore, because we've done all sorts of things to these eyes. I saw a lady during the week, she wore some very nice eyelashes. And I said, "Sorry, how do you avoid dust coming? How do you bat your eyelids?" She said, "I can't, it's too heavy." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your eyes represent every sense of perception. Your spiritual eyes. If you've been long in Harvest Word Assembly, you know that one of our constant prayers is that the Lord opens our eyes, open our ears. Your sense of perception, your sense of focus, your sense of receiving from God. The eyes go a long way in determining how much of God you can see. They had eyes all over them. Their bodies were full with eyes. They had eyes even within them. And so they could see into God, and their response was with worship. And that was why they kept shouting, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty," morning and night. So you see why nobody needs to chase you to worship God. God has constant people worshiping already. Worshiping God should be to our own advantage. It's a privilege to be counted amongst the creatures already worshiping God. That's why it feels like you're telling God. There was something Reverend Wally used to say. He said one lady came to his office and said, "God has failed me. I failed my exams." He said, he told her, "Sorry." And then she said, "No, don't tell me, Mr. Reverend. I'm also going to fail God. I'll just go and fornicate and get pregnant." Reverend said, he told her, "When you get pregnant, who will drop out of school? Is it God?" Hallelujah. 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 So worship is our life. Worship is our culture. Worship is how you identify with this kingdom. Worship is not limited to what you do when you wake up. Even in your sleep, your spirit, your soul must still be in alignment with worship. In the beginning, when God made Adam, Adam's worship to God was in the form of his obedience. How that he stood in the place of assignment that God gave him. And the moment he stopped worshiping, he was sent out of the garden. Adam's worship to God was not through singing or dancing. It was by following the exact instructions that God gave him. The day he deviated was the day he left the garden. So when you talk of worship, it goes beyond what we already think we are doing. We probably need to sit with the Lord again and ask, "Father, how? Help me." Hallelujah. How? Help me. Philippians chapter 2. Let's quickly read Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. Bible also records that when Cain and Abel gave their sacrifice to the Lord, Bible records that Abel's sacrifice was accepted, but Cain's sacrifice was not accepted. If you fast forward to the book of Hebrews, you will see that Abel actually worshipped God in his sacrifice by faith. That means there was an alignment between what Abel was giving and what God was giving. You know, Pastor was saying that we were having a chat yesterday, and for me, those moments are the moments I tell myself, this is not a loving talk. Take this seriously. And you know, there was something I learned from what Pastor said yesterday. That the sacrifice of Abel was in direct synchronization with what God had in mind for the world. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. They that worship the Father must worship in spirit and in truth. For it is God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Can you give me that in Amplified? Knowing God's will and doing God's will and doing it according to his own dictates and his own design are three different things. The enablement to do, in the first instance, that you even want to live a life of worship, that will was planted by God. Then that you take a step to now begin to do is also as given by God. And another aspect is doing it according to God's own design. When Pastor Shehi was sharing his story about NYC, it helped me remember when I was also going for service. And I, you know, in NYPES, everybody, we all believe that you must not don't influence your posting. Let God take you to where God wants to take you to. And so I was one of those who said, I even told my parents, don't influence it. I don't want anything. Just God is taking me to where I will serve him. And I was ready. And I was posted to Kaduna and I rejoiced in the Lord. But you know, somewhere in my mind, even though I was in Kaduna, I wanted to stay in the capital town. So I didn't work it not to go to Kaduna. But I was now working in line with working to be in town. And then that didn't work out. And then even when it didn't work out, and I decided that, okay, even in this Kafanchan that I'm in, I don't have to go into the very interiors. It's not just to do the work of God. We'll be entering Transmort and be going there. So I tried to, and I succeeded in that. They posted me to a school in Gidanwaya. It's a school where there was only one road from the beginning of the town to that school. The copper's lodge was just one hut in the middle of a bush. I asked them, I said, do snakes come here? They said, we will give you cutlass. The moment you see, you kill. Then I requested for water. When I got there, I told them I was thirsty. They said, you won't be able to drink this well water because now you're not used to it. If you want pure water, we have to take a bike to the junction to get pure water. I just told myself, I said, please give me my letter. He said, I'm not staying. Then the VP said, I've never met you before, but I see you and I see the hand of God upon your life. And I see that God sent you to this school. I said, no, just give me my letter. God sent me to Kaduna State, not necessarily this school. You know, and I collected my letter from him. I went back to the zonal coordinator. I cried. The man was confused. He saw a lady crying. He didn't know what to do. And then he said, which school do you want me to post you to? I told him where I wanted to be posted to, and he posted me to that school because my friend was already there, Jumoke. And we went there together. And God allowed me to settle. I settled down. 3 months after, the Lord showed up in a revelation. And the Lord said, I brought you all the way from Lagos. I took you to that town. And you have left the place empty. I didn't recover. When I remember that experience, sometimes I'm almost still crying. Because I had to now wake my friend up. I almost went back to Gidanwaya. In fact, I tried. I went back. They said the space was already occupied. They weren't going to take me. And I just told God, Lord, I pledge my life here where I am that I will do anything you want. The will to do. The actual doing. And doing it as God wants it done. Many a times we come to the... there are so many people who come to you, hear you get words of prophecy, or you come to pastor and pastor counsels, and then you know the will is there. Then you get back and you don't find the energy to do. Give me that Philippians 2:13 in Amplified Version. And this is just still saying that your life of worship goes beyond, it's deeper than what you even think it is. It goes into your daily walk with God. It goes into how you respond to the word that you receive from God, how you respond in obedience. It says, not in your strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire, both to will and to work for his good pleasure and his satisfaction and his delight. If God has told you to do something and you are doing it, but doing it according to how you feel comfortable or according to your own convenience, then you are still not, there is nothing like half mark. It is still zero. Hallelujah. So you want to sustain your life of worship, you must pay attention to how you do, how God instructs you, and how you pay attention to his instructions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 26. Don't forget, I said, they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And we talked about the beast that stood before the throne with eyes all over, and how they perceived God and they responded in worship to the Lord. Now, Matthew 26, I'm going to be reading from, I think, from verse 40. And this is talking about how Jesus called his disciples. Now, we're still talking about the highs here. So he told all the disciples, come with me, let us pray. Tarry with me. And then after he told them, he picked some more, Peter and two others. And he said, come with me, let's go further. And watch with me for 1 hour. And then Jesus came back and he said, and he cometh unto the disciples and found them asleep. And he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Could you not tarry with me 1 hour? Please go on. Verse 41. Then he said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. These are two things. You watch with your sense of perception open. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. So when Jesus was actually telling them to watch and pray, he wasn't telling them because he wanted them to intercede on his behalf. He wasn't telling them because he wanted them to pray for him so that God would turn the cup around. He was telling them because he knew that they would need stamina and strength to sustain the life, the culture that he had brought them through with his stay with them. Remember, I said something about the bypass, and I said something about the, after the bypass is taken, you need to come back on your own heart and live. So Jesus was telling them, I need you to tarry with me this 1 hour. I need you to watch. I need your focus on him. I need your gaze on him. I need you to be sensitive so that you can overcome every temptation. When I am not here, you need strength to be able to stand on your own. Please go back to that verse. Because your spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Verse 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, go to verse 43. Hallelujah. And he came, and he found them asleep again. Now, this time around, Jesus was able to tell that the reason they couldn't keep their gaze, keep their focus on God, was because their eyes were heavy. The connecting point to revelation was weak. Their sense of perception was weak. They didn't have the capacity or the ability to stay and look into God, to stay in the place of revelation, to stay in the place of the Spirit. Their eyes were weak. Their eyes were heavy. And you know, at this point, Jesus did not tell them anything again. He just left them. May we not come to the point where we are irredeemable. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So Jesus left them, walked away from them, and he continued his own prayers. Their eyes were heavy. They lacked the capacity to stay awake. They lacked the capacity to be at alert. They lacked the capacity to focus. You know, science studies have shown that in this day and age, this fast-moving age, an average adult's attention span is 8 minutes, 25 seconds. If you are a disciplined learner, the average attention span is 20 minutes. So most of, and that's why now they give us shots. They give us memes. They give us all sorts. You just look and... The world is moving so fast. Pastor Shehi was trying to ask us how we remain Christians in Lagos. Lagos is not even as fast moving as developed countries. Yeah. Hallelujah. But this problem did not start today. Even the disciples could not keep their eyes open. So the problem they had was that their eyes were weak. Their eyes were heavy. Their strength to stay in the spirit was lacking. They didn't have the stamina. You want to pray for 1 hour and just 2 minutes into the prayer, you remember that there was a call you didn't make yesterday. If you had still not made the call now that, and nobody died, that means the call can wait until after your prayers. So to live a life of worship, we must be ready to stay and keep our gaze on him. Because as we behold him, we become transformed into his image. There has to be the price of beholding for transformation to happen. Hallelujah. Until you come to the point where you behold, not just that you cast a gaze. Beholding means you look and keep looking and keep looking. Look, the day you stopped studying your Bible was not the day the devil attacked your Bible study life. It was the day the devil took away the sense of importance of the Word of God from you that your Bible study life was attacked. The aftermath is that some weeks after, you stop studying. And you know why we even stop studying? Because you now open the Bible, you don't understand what you are reading. Or you read and you forget. So we must build stamina. Hallelujah. We must build what? Stamina. To be able to stand. Now, after this incident and Jesus left them to sleep, they got back and when the betrayer came with the army, the first thing Peter did was to draw out a sword. And Jesus said, why do you act hastily? If you have stayed long in the place of prayer, your first response will not be to make haste. Why do you act hastily? Don't you want me to fulfill the will of my Father? If you stayed long, if you had tarried, the Lord would have opened your eyes to see his will. And so when we begin to fall into error, you begin to make wrong decisions, it is probably because we have not stayed long to understand what he wants, how he wants it. Hallelujah. So when Peter thought, Baba, you be champion, you are the one who can pray, I can't pray. Jesus did not even say, Peter, why didn't you pray? Jesus said, why didn't you watch? The instruction was watch and pray. But if you cannot watch, you will not be able to pray. The beast that surrounded the throne, Bible records that they had eyes full of them, not mouth. Until you are able to connect to the source of revelation, until you are able to behold, until you are able to stand and gaze on him, you will not be able to do any other thing. So the fundamental issue was not that they did not pray. The fundamental issue was that they lacked waiting power. They lacked the ability to watch because their eyes were heavy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's move on. I'm going to be talking about how we can sustain. And I'm just so grateful that Daddy Osoyinbi, you know, really did a lot today. The first point here on how you can sustain a life of worship is by guarding your heart with all diligence. And please go back to the first service. He said a lot about the heart, a lot about guiding the heart. Where you guard your heart with all diligence. When David was going to face Goliath, Everything that could discourage David came as words. His brothers told him, you can't do it. King Saul told him, you will not be able to do it except you take this particular measure. Everything that discouraged him came through the words he was listening to. But you know what? David was a man who guarded his heart. As they were saying it, he was returning it. How do you guard your heart when you allow everything, every seed to drop in it? The heart, like Daddy said, is a soil. The moment the seed drops, seed time and harvest must happen. So the best bet is you are at guard so that it doesn't even drop. Hallelujah. I'm not going to go into the guard your heart anymore. Please just go back to the first message and listen to it very well. Guard your heart with all diligence. Keep your gaze on him. Keep your focus on him. Hallelujah. Sustaining the life of worship, I'm going to be talking about your trust in God. Now, I'd like you to know that God has already earned his trust. You know, people say you have to earn your trust. God already earned it by giving up his only begotten son, even when he was not certain that we would acknowledge him. So why is it so difficult for us to trust him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has earned his trust. You need to be spiritually minded. Means that you are totally reliant, 100% dependent on God. And you cannot if you don't trust God. Hallelujah. 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 Trust God. Just tell yourself, it is not by your power. Philippians 2:13 that we read said, it is not even by your own energy that you even got up today and said you were coming to church. It was not because you were determined to. It was God. So why can't you put your total trust in him? Trust the Lord. And there's one thing we also need to be sure of. Look, I know there's every natural tendency to trust man because the mind can relate more with the man that it sees. If I promise you 10,000 naira and I tell you by Monday I'll send you 10,000 naira, forget it. Even if you get home today and you need 10,000 naira urgently, you won't pray about it. True or true? Because in your mind, I've already made the promise. And you believe because you see me. You know me. But when you keep your gaze on God and you see him and you behold him, then trust will be deposited in your heart. So even that me that promised you 10K, I will only do it if God permits me to do it. So is it not better to trust the God that can control me and control you? If anybody told you, send your CV, don't worry, you are getting a job. Except the Lord builds that city, you will labor but in vain. Remember the story of Abimelech, King Abimelech and Abraham, when Abimelech took the wife of Abraham. God does not even need the person to be a believer. Before God uses, don't bother about who God will use or how God will do it. If he looks for men so much and there is no man willing to support you, God will raise stones in your favor. Abimelech took the wife of Abraham and the Lord went to Abimelech in a dream. Abimelech was not qualified to see visions. But because of Abraham, the Lord stood up and said, open this gateway. I need to talk to him. He was not a man who could hear God. The Lord said, I will talk to him for my son's sake. And the Lord went to him in a dream and said, you are a dead man if you don't return what you've taken from Abraham. So why can't we trust? Hallelujah. Next thing I'm going to talk about is faith. Bible records in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. It says that Abel by faith. Now, I just spoke about trust, but I hope you know that your trust, the foundation for trust is faith. Give me Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11, 6. Hallelujah. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. When you come to him, you must trust that he is, and you must trust that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So for your trust to stand, it has to be premised on faith. If your trust is not founded in your faith in God, it's probably not trust. You are probably just being optimistic. Can you give me this in amplified versions? Let's just compare the different versions in amplified. But without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. So you want to live a life of worship, you need faith to be able to live a life that is satisfactory to God. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe. So before you can even bring out your... Okay, I got the gist. So before you can even say you trust God, it is premised on your faith in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the last I'm going to talk about is maintaining close proximity. As we behold him, we are transformed into his image. You cannot see if you are not close by. Proximity is not as defined by how you hold your Bible close to your chest. I know some of us still pray with our Bibles under our pillows. Please, you are causing wear and tear on that book. As I'm standing here now, I know there are people seated there, but I can't see them. Proximity is not in how you post on social media. I don't even want to go there. How you wake up being blessed. I just feel the presence of God upon me now. Proximity sits in your heart. How much of God you hold in your heart. How much of meditations you allow in your heart. How much of beholding you do. How much of gazing you do. When you study, when you stay in the place of prayer, how do you guard your heart such that you are not distracted from him? You must maintain close proximity. Even when you are working in the office, at intervals, just commune with God in your heart. Keep his word ever fresh in your heart. Keep the thoughts of him in your heart. If you've ever been in love, you know what it means to keep one's thought in your heart. Okay, don't look at me like I'm just... Guard your heart with all diligence. Trust in the Lord. There's a song from Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. When cometh my help cometh from the Lord. Maker of heaven and earth. He said he will not suffer my foot to be moved. The Lord that keepeth me, he will not slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is my keeper. Upon my right hand, for the sun shall not smite me by day, not the moon by night. He shall preserve my soul, even forevermore. Oh, my help, my help. Captures everything that you need. And it sums it up by saying your help is from him. The day you begin to look up to man or any other source of help, you have truncated your life of worship. A life of worship is one that is 100% dependent on God. He said the word of the Lord to us this morning, Deuteronomy 31, says, "Be strong, do not be afraid, for it is still in God." The equation raised to power 1 million is in God. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. Sun shall not smite me by day, nor the moon by night.
He shall preserve my soul, even forevermore.
That your help comes from Lord if your eyes are not on Him. You can't be looking away from Him and expecting help to come from Him. This morning we are going to receive grace, the grace and the strength to tarry, to keep our focus on Him, to keep our attention on Him, to keep our eyes on Him. That as we behold Him, Lord, I receive the grace and the strength to be attentive to your will, to be attentive to your instructions, to keep my focus on you. I refuse to be distracted. Begin to pray and receive grace. And receive grace to be attentive to Him. It is in the place of beholding Him that you begin to trust Him. It is in the place of beholding Him that you can confidently say that my help is in God. It is in the place of gazing on Him that you can say with all assurance that my help is in God. And you can say that the Lord is my strength and my shield, and the Lord is my shade.
We behold until we are formed. We behold until we are formed.
We behold until we have strength.
We behold until we are formed.
We behold. Akadabasha katabala kadabasu katabali kadabosa rekete kadabosika tabali kadabosha kete embele kadabele kete embele kadabosu kata kata e kadabosha kadabali kadabosa kadabali kada rakata kada kata rekadabasha kete embele kadabele kete embele kadabosu kata e kadabosha kadabali kada e kadabosu tani bale kada Rekata bala kadabasha katabala kadabasu katabali kada. Emale yadabasu tale kadabose kete. Rekete kete 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 kete. Rekete boshe kete. Rekete bosu kata kada kada.